But now you have brought restoration. You have brought back the glory. It's like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 all over again. When you thought of making man to reveal your glory, to make manifest your love, which was tarnished by the lies of the enemy, which you have brought your hand of remedy, exacting it upon any and everything that has ever defied you. Now we are the result of it. Now you are waiting for all your enemies to be made your footstool.
Amen.
Glorious King, your spirit has been released. Ruach has been released. He is in our midst to accomplish. He is in our midst to reveal. He is in our midst to make manifest the glory that has been hidden. The glory that was purposed in the Son. That glory is now being revealed by the Son, by the Spirit of God. And none shall be able to frustrate it. Yes, yes. Your kind intention made known to man. We are the result. We are the one that you delight in. We are the one that you can't help yourself by loving and by coming to us and by making all things new, even through your own work, even the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and his obedience. And now here we are, standing on his authority, coming in his name, coming in his person. For we are dead, and it's he who rose from the dead who now lives in us. And we speak his words, for his words are true, and his words are the ways of life. Ah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your love and for your compassion that has been known to us, revealed to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Wow. I tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you. You ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. I say you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. But we are coming to the place where you no longer doubt the love and the faithfulness of the Father. No, you no longer doubt it. For it shall be so revealed to you that you wonder why it took us so long to grasp it. We are coming to it.
Amen.
everything is working together to bring to pass that which he has purposed, that which he purposed from before the earth was made. Who can stop him? Who can close the door that he has opened? Did he not open the windows of heaven and pour out his Son? And in that Son, the life of God was revealed and brought to us. Did he do this for his name's sake? I mean, for his person? He did it because he loved us. Because we are his idea. We are his idea. Of course, it's an enemy. But who is this enemy? Has he not already been defeated? For they knew. Even when he manifests as a man, they knew. And they were wondering if he has come too early to destroy them. Because they knew, they know that their end is set in stone. And they were wondering, you have come way too early to destroy us. Our time is not up yet. We know we shall be destroyed, but our time is not up yet. Why you come so now? Why you come now to destroy us? They knew it. They know it. They are fully aware. But the sons and daughters are now going to be aware. I said his sons and daughters are now going to be made aware, and it shall be known just as the Father knows him. We shall know him just as the Father knows him. Are you happy?
Yes.
Are you being filled with the joy? Oh, you will look at, let's go into the word. The topic for today, by the way, happy Easter Sunday to all of you. Even better, happy Resurrection Sunday to all of you.
Happy Resurrection Sunday.
I tell you, the point, the crux of the good news is actually this day. Yeah. The Friday that just passed was the beginning of it. This day is the climax of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Even though he said it's finished, he was yet to take his, because the work on earth was finished. He had to now take the blood into the heavenly of heavenlies, into the innermost room where the Father inhabits, and pour his blood. That was when not only was earth's work finished, but heaven's work is also finished. Hey. Well, today, the topic today is, why did God send his son? Why did God send his son? Now, we're going to read a few scriptures. Please, come alert, come alive. Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the power of the Spirit of God, and by the authority of the covenant through the blood of the Lamb, I bind, Lord, your word, that is spirit and life, to the hearts of your sons and daughters. And I lose from them the deceptive voices that are at work, seeking to preempt your move. But the peace of God that passes understanding will begin to fill the hearts of your sons and daughters. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
John 3:16. It's a scripture that you should be able to quote. Not by that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever, the serial rapist or killer that believeth in him shall immediately stop perishing. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The perishing stops, it ceases in the day. Express your belief in him and you receive him. The perishing stops. What happens? You shall have everlasting life, which means that you shall have the very life of God. You shall have the very life of God. For they that choose not to receive him, they shall also live forever, but they will perish forever. I mean, they shall exist forever, but it shall be a perishing forever. But you and I, who receive him, here's the word of God to you. You shall not perish. You shall not perish. You shall not perish. Second scripture. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is another scripture that is just like this one. It actually expounds or explains what the first one means. It explains what it means. This magnifies what John 3:16 means. That you shall have everlasting life or eternal life or the life of God. You shall become a container of the life of God. You shall become a container of the life of God. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. In this, what is it? Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world so that we might live through him, so that we might live by means of his son, so that we might live through him. Can I ask you a question? Give me my people. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If the devil begins to live through a person, and the person begins to manifest, let's say, the hissing of a snake, are you dealing with the person or with the devil?
Dealing with the devil.
Ah! If God has accomplished a work of his hand, which cannot fail, which has not failed. And he says, this is the reason, this is the purpose for which I'm sending my son. This is the demonstration and manifestation of my love for the human beings I made. So that my son will live in them, through them. So that now my interactions with you shall be interactions with the son. So that your interactions with me shall be your interactions with the son. He says, you can't have fellowship with me unless you are having fellowship with the son. And if you don't know who the son is, you may eat chicken with me. You may have chicken dinner, but you are still not having fellowship with me. Why? Because the one you are eating chicken with, he is having fellowship with the son. And in as much as you also have fellowship with the son and with the father and with the Holy Spirit, now there is communion. This communion is what you don't see. It's about to happen.
Amen.
That you will look at somebody and you will call forth the son's life out of him and says, let the son's life manifest. For why? Why? How do you do that? Because henceforth we know no man after the flesh. In this was manifested the love of God. In that God sent his only begotten son into this world. So that you and I, from now, from the day he sent his son, any life we live shall be the son living his life through us. The life of the son is the very life of God. And if he has come to live in us, his life has become our life. That is why the Bible says that he has become our salvation. He has become. The Bible says God gave him. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, God gave him to be unto us wisdom. How do I work in wisdom? God has to put me in his son for me to work in wisdom. How do I work in righteousness? God has to put me in his son for me to have the righteousness of God. How do I become holy? God puts me in the son. I'm holy. How does God redeem me? God puts me in the son. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, of him, the Father, are you. He's going to tell you what you are in Christ. He's going to tell you what he has made you to be in Christ. Who of God is made unto us? He is not going to make him unto you. He's not going to make him unto me. He's not waiting to do it. He has done it. Of God is made unto me wisdom. How do I get wisdom? God has to put me in Christ. Am I in Christ? I have the wisdom of God. I may not be showing it. I may not be speaking it. It may not be coming out of me only because this mind has not been renewed to the reality of this life inside me. That's all. It's like a madman. It's like a son who is suffering psychotic disease and is living in the house. He poops everywhere, not knowing that there is a special bowl. Because his mind has not been tuned to work correctly, knowing that there's a bowl in which you do your number two. You don't do it everywhere. That's all. That's all. Is he a son? Of course he's a son. Does he belong in the house? Of course he belongs in the house. Why is the father spending money on him? So that his mind will come to himself. That's all. This is why God sent his son and why he has sent his Holy Spirit to paint a new picture for you. When you see the picture, you say, Father, I am this, right? He says, yes. This is what I made you. This is what I thought about you. This is what you've always been. You just not believed it. You just not seen it. You don't know what it is. But when you shall know it, your vocabulary will change. The thought that will occur to you will change. Let's read that scripture. Today, we're going to read scriptures, please. We're going to read scriptures. Please bear with me. Okay, pay attention. Amen. Pay attention and bear with me, please. And hear the voice of the Spirit of God, that you may come alive and be free from the guilt and the condemnation and the hopelessness. Give me that scripture again that we're reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It just came along, but I think it's right and proper. It wasn't... Oh, Chris, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yeah. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. God made him. That's what it means. God has made his son to be unto you. That's why God sent his son, that he shall become unto you, that he may live through you. What is he living? What is he bringing forth? His wisdom, his righteousness, not your righteousness. He puts no burden on you to do right, to become right, to become righteous. No. Put it on upon his son. All that is left was to put you in his son. And the work was finished. He has made him to be unto us wisdom and righteousness and holiness and redemption. That is why he who believeth in the Son has eternal life. And says that he who does not believe in the Son, the wrath of God remaineth, meaning that if you have not received the Son, if you are not in the Son, the wrath that came upon you through Adam, through your source, through the one who was meant to be the head, that wrath remains. But when you are put in Christ, that wrath ceases. Give me that scripture, John chapter 3, I believe it's verse 34. Look at it. Woo! John 3, verse 34, I believe. Let's pray by John to him. Go down to the last verse. The last verse of that book. The last verse of that chapter. The last verse. He that believeth, yes, 36. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son, he that heareth and does not give himself to what he is hearing. It says that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth. If you look at another meaning of abideth, it means remain. Give it to me in another version, you will see it.
Forgive.
It remains. Why does the wrath of God remain on you? Only because you have not believed in the Son. It is not because you have changed your behavior. It's not because you have become a good person. It's not because now you are loving. No. Only one condition. Can you give it to me in another version? Please pay attention. That says remain. Oh, you're giving me, I don't like this. It's too much. I can't read it. I don't have time. Give it to me in the NASB. Oh, New King James. If you have New King James. It's verse 36, by the way. Verse 36. John 3, verse 36. Okay, he's not getting it. So, okay, we will go on.
The NASB says that it remains.
Yeah, NASB says it. The New King James also says that. It's verse 36, not 34.
Pastor, I don't have the 36. I'm trying to see.
It's okay. Don't bring it up. It's okay. Let's proceed. Now, let me read another scripture to you again. Let's read another scripture. Are you ready? Are you enjoying the scriptures?
Yeah.
Please, I'm not telling you my mind. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm going to read scriptures for you so that you will know that this is the voice of the Spirit. It's like that saith the Spirit of God. This is what brings strength and confidence. It's not what I think. It's not my reasoning and my explanation of it. No, it's the words that you receive. You bring yourself to it. Then your faith begins to arise. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the word of truth as revealed by the Holy Spirit, not as revealed by somebody's opinion and somebody's explanation of it. No. Pay attention. Because you are called to work in them.
Amen.
Give me Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21. We're going to read in the Passion Translation. Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 20 to 21. And we are going to fix Chris's Bible that is missing some stuff. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. You cannot take out from God's word. How dare... I'm going to fix it.
Create the fucking cut here, right?
Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and verse 21. The Passion Translation. Hebrews 13, verse 20 to 21. What kind of computer that is deceiving us? Hebrews chapter 13, from verse 20 to 21. Let me read it. Now, the Passion. Now, may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. I am here to announce to you that on the day that God raised up his son from the dead, he brought you peace. You are not cut off from God. God is not angry with you. You have been reconciled to God. It has nothing to do with a change of your behavior. It has nothing to do with you thinking right. It is an instruction. It is the word of the Spirit of God to you that in the day that God raised up his son, he brought you to be at peace with God himself.
Amen.
So that God shall be for you. And if it's for you, who can be against you? Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did God send his son? Why did he have to die? Why? What does it mean to even raise him from the dead? It is so that the Bible says now having peace with God. That's Romans 5 verse 1. But don't go there. Don't go there. Romans 5 verse 1 says now having peace with God. We have peace with God by faith, through faith. I mean, you don't have to change for God to reconcile and restore you to himself. You don't, there is nothing that you must do. Just believe it. The prophet gave a statement that God has issued. One man came up and said, even if God opens the windows and pours out this thing that you are saying, it shall not happen. Then the word came to the prophet and said, tell him he will not eat of it. He will not eat of it. For me, God, I've said something. You are defying it. Yes. Well, you will see it happening, but you can't taste of it.
But taste of it.
What does it mean to be humble? God told me what it means to be humble. He told me what it means to be humble. He told me what it means to be humble. He told me this morning. Tell me what it means to be humble. Oh, if I get a chance, I'll tell you too.
Amen.
Now may the God who brought us peace by raising from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, so that he, Jesus Christ, would be the great shepherd of his flock. You are the sheep of the Lord, the risen King. And he's going on. The Holy Spirit is telling you good news today. He's going on and says that, and by the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant. A covenant can only God can make a covenant and call it everlasting. Because every covenant that we make, you are arrangement to buy your house. It can easily happen that you lose the house. It can easily happen that the man will abscond. You know what it means to abscond. The bank can even, something can happen to the bank.
Yeah.
And that your contract has been made null and void. The man who says, I said I'm marrying you. Or I've even married you today. Let's go. Let's go and sign. Next year, 2, 3, 4, 5, the marriage, the covenant has been broken. But this God, he says, I make a covenant with you. It's a covenant represented, sealed by my blood. It's the blood of my son. That blood contains life and power. And it lives forever. And I'm making a covenant with you. Don't you ever receive any lie. That you begin to doubt what I've made you, what I've said and declared and written. Sealed with blood. It says, and by the power of the blood of the everlasting covenant, or eternal covenant. Go to the next one. It's not your father's will that he left for you. that your parents, I mean, somebody is even coming to fight you, even though he made a will, you will think that it should be respected. Oh, they will fight you until you now, you want to give it up. But this covenant, those that neither death, nor principalities, nor powers, nor angels, whatever, there's nothing. There is no tsunami. There is nothing that can happen on earth that can rise up and defy that covenant. A covenant that does not require anything from you. That is why he did it before you were even born. So that you can't say that my pain of tithe is what has brought me to... you are sick. When he was speaking the covenant, you didn't even exist to even earn the money to come and give some 10% and say that this covenant, this my money brings me to covenant. All those things, I realized that it not be so. Not be so. It cannot be. That nobody can come and boast in anything. It's what the Lord has done and brought forth. It's the faithfulness and obedience of Christ that has brought us into the goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
But let it be. Let every man be a liar. Let God alone be true. It says that through the everlasting covenant, may he work perfection. He's working. I say he's working in me.
Amen.
He's bringing it forth. Why? It says through that covenant, may he work perfection into every part of you. Every part of you. Every part in your marriage, in your children upbringing, in your education, at work, everything, in your utterance, in your relationships, in how you understand things, in your perception, every area of your life that is filled with darkness is at work. See, that is why I'm a work in progress. I may go off sometimes, but please bear with me, because he who began a good work has not finished yet with me.
Man,
what can't you forgive? Why can't you even look at fault? Is he the one who corrects himself? Does he not have help from the Holy Spirit? No. Can you not believe that God who began the good work will complete it?
Yes.
Ah! A man says, a Christian, a pastor says, I've divorced my wife. You are, I don't know what you are. Say, because she is this. When God was dying for her, did he not already know what she was? Likewise for you. Did God not already know the bondage that all of us have been brought into? For we were dead. We were. I'm gonna, you know, I don't have time, unfortunately, because it looks like the thing that it's too much. May he work perfection into every part of you, amen, giving you all that you need to fulfill your destiny. And may he express through you all that which is excellent and pleasing to him through your life union with Jesus, the anointed one, who is to receive all glory forever. And he started by saying, through the everlasting covenant, the power in that covenant, the power in the blood. How can he fail? How can he fail? How can he fail? It's not, oh God, help me. And so it's where. No. You can relax. It is through the everlasting covenant that is bringing forth all these things. So you can cut a slack for everybody who is misbehaving. Why? Because you know him. And you know his everlasting covenant. And you know the blood that was shed. And you know how much it cost him. And you know the glory that must ascend to his name. It's for his sake that he did it. Now, are you being blessed by God's word today?
Oh, yes.
Now, you're going to go forth. You're going to go forth. I tell you, once you begin to receive the words of God as revealed by Christ through the Holy Spirit, you find out that you become stable, sound, resolute. No more guilt, no more condemnation. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. I'm talking about resurrection. I'm talking about why God sent his son. Give me Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are the one, you rise up and you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I say so. Anytime you say that, the powers, they come to attention. Why? Because he is declaring that Jesus, who you cannot do anything against, who you cannot bring anything against, who you cannot say that this must be brought up against him, that Jesus is his Lord. Then he goes on, and shall believe in your heart that it is God who has raised him from the dead. It is God who has raised him. When did God raise him from the dead? Was not today? Yeah. 2,000 years ago today. Let's remember that time was made for earth. So God can say what he did before the foundations of the earth, he did it today. Because he's outside time. Time was made for us. He's outside time. Time was made for the earth. I'm going to show you something if I have the chance. You want to read scriptures?
Amen.
It says, if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that it is God who has raised him from the dead, the Bible says, through the Holy Spirit, you must be saved. You must be saved. Meaning that every curse, every authority, every entity, every generational thing, that every sentence must cease. Here's the thing. We believe this scripture. In fact, this is how we get born again. The problem is, who is this Jesus? And what does it mean to believe that God has raised him from the dead? I mean, what is the significance? What is the essence? What happened? I mean, what has God raising him from the dead got to do with my salvation? How many of you think that's a good question to answer? Please give my people. I can't see them. How many of you think that is a good question to answer? Who is this Jesus? And what does it mean to believe that God has raised him from the dead? Well, I'm going to attempt to give you some few things by the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Wow. So first of all, we're going to answer who this Jesus is. Mm-hmm. We're going to answer it. Is that okay?
Yes.
Wow. Now go back and give me John chapter 1 from verse 1. And give it to me in the Passion Translation. We're going to read some scriptures. In the Passion Translation. John chapter 1 verse 1. I'm going to read some long scripture. John chapter 1 from verse 1. In the Passion Translation, please. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says, in the very beginning, the living expression was already there. The living expression. The living expression. The one who gives structure, meaning, and essence to what it means to live. The living expression. In the King James, it says, the word. In the beginning was the word. Here it says, in the very beginning, the living expression. The one who makes things live. The one who expresses what it means to live. If you want to understand what it means to live, you must look at him. And the thing that is not in him and of him is dead. So he says, in the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. Next verse. Let's go through it. Then it says, they were together face to face. When? In the very beginning. Now, this scripture talks about in the beginning. Remember, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 also talks about in the beginning. But you know the difference? The difference is that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are talking about the beginning of the earth. Here, we are talking about the beginnings of beginnings. Even when the earth has not been formed, when the Father was with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, before even the angels were made. This is the beginning of beginnings. They are all both beginnings, but one represents the beginning of the earth. That's why as soon as Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 starts, it enters into the chaos and all the things. But here, it's talking about the beginning of beginnings.
Wow.
Who is he talking about? This Jesus. Because we need to have a respect of who he is and why he came and what he did and what the result is. Otherwise, he did this, he said this, he did this, he has done this. This man of God has done this. This man of God has done this. This person has said this. You have no respect to he who speaks from above, who existed from the beginning. But let's go on. Let's go on. Let's go on to the next verse. What does it say? And it says, verse 3, please. Verse 3. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. This being. Next verse, verse 4. Then it goes on. Life came into being because of him. That's what it means, that in him was life. Life came into being because of him. The fishes, everything. The crocodile, everything. Everything. Lions, everything. Angels, everything. Humanity, everything. It came into being because of him. It was his creative expression coming forth. For his life is light for all humanity. Go on. Go on. Next verse. And this living expression is the light that breaks through. He bursts through every gloom, every darkness. I suffered this. This is how I was brought up. This is what they did to me. Oh, I didn't have this. Oh, I never had this. Oh, in my development, this was lacking. Oh, I don't have this degree. Oh, I don't have this citizenship. Oh, I don't have this accent. Oh, I'm not like that. Oh, look at my height. Oh, anything that defies his expression. The Bible says that this living expression is the light that bursts through every gloom or darkness. There's the light, and that light, darkness could not diminish or comprehend or bring. Subdue. No. Darkness. Mean that any diminutive or anything that is not according to what he purposed in the beginning, when the light comes through, that thing must conform, rearrange, and be exactly like what he purposed. That is why we have to respect what his work has brought forth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yes.
You have to respect what his work has brought forth. Your faith must only be in what he has done, because he existed before time.
You can.
Next verse. Then suddenly, a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John. This is John the Baptizer. Next verse, quickly. Let's go through, quickly. For he came to be a witness, to point the way to the light of life, and to help everyone believe. God sent him to prepare the way so that everyone will be able to go to the place where he can now believe what God was bringing forth in the person of his son. Let's go on. Verse 8. John was not the light, but he came to show who is the light. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. Let's go on quickly. Then it says, for the light of truth was about to come into the world and shine upon how many people?
Everyone.
Everyone. That is why the angels began to rejoice. That is why the angels were rejoicing and saying that goodwill, goodwill, the goodness of God has visited the earth. The day that Abraham saw, the day that, because Jesus said that your father Abraham saw my day, he saw the unveiling of my day, he saw how I was going to go to the cross, he saw how I was going to carry the cross, he saw it exactly. He saw it. So he said, my son, the father is going to send his son, the son will come and carry a cross, that cross, you're gonna die on that cross, and it shall be for the restoration and life given to all humanity. And I see it. So son, God say, I must give you up too, as a type of what is yet to be. Yes, 10 years later. So son, let's go. Let's go. Let's go, son. took his son along. Son, carry the wood. Carry it, son. Because the son is going to come and carry his own wood. Hey! On the mount, he sets there everything. Put the son on it. Hey! It says, your father Abraham saw my day. He saw it. He saw it. Remember, he's not bound by time. So he can show to every one of his sons and daughters that which is yet to happen 5,000 years later or 6,000 years later. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So he says, your father Abraham, he saw my day. He saw the day when I shall be revealed. He saw the day when I shall die. And he rejoiced. Say, for the light of truth was about to come into the world, and this was the time, and shine upon everyone. Let's go on. Because everyone was in darkness. Everyone was bound. Everyone was in bondage. He entered into the very world he created, yet the world was unaware. Hey! Why? Everybody was blind. Everybody has become so natural. Devils, demonic entities, who are spirit beings, they saw him. But man, for whom he came, because man had become so natural and blind, they couldn't see. That is why he came, to bring to an end our naturalness and bring forth spiritual beings that can now communicate and have fellowship with this God who is the spirit. So he had to make us spiritual again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he entered into the very world he created. Yet the world was unaware. Let's go to the next verse. Then it goes on. He came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. Verse 12. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name. So you and I, we hear about him. The Holy Spirit begins to touch on our hearts. To do what? To reveal. When I say lion, immediately what comes to mind is this fierce animal who has these teeth. If it lays hold on meat, you dare not come near. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You see, it's a very, it roars, and every animal in the forest comes to attention. So when I say lion, that animal comes to mind. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to reveal his name, so that when you say Jesus, the powers all come to alert because they know him. And he wants you to also know him. Him who you are calling. Him who you say he's the Lord. He wants you to also begin to become aware of the name that you are calling. So he says, but those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority, power, rights, privilege to become the children of God. What do you have to do to become a child of God? You just embrace him and begin to respect that he is the Messiah. He's the one who has come to save you, deliver you, and bring an end to the torment that the enemy had right over you. Next verse. Let's go on. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. Let's go on. Verse 14. Quickly. We're going to enter into something that I want to show. Oh, my goodness. It says, and so the living expression became a man. He became a man. Why did he become a man? Why did he become a man? Oh, we want to read something and you see it. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. Why? He had to come and fulfill the prophecy that says that the seed of the woman will come and crush the head of the serpent who has brought such chaos to humanity. So the living expression became a man and lived among us. And we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. He didn't come to give you a law. He didn't come to give you a law that you must do to become. No, he didn't come to put any burden on you. He came with truth and grace, or truth and tender mercy, truth and power to make you to what God purposed. Next verse. You're about to end that phase. Let me go to something else. I'll show you quickly. Go on. 15. John taught the truth about him when he announced the people. He's the one. He's the one. I say he's the one. Set your heart on him. I told you he will come after me. I told you. Even though he runs far above me, I told you that he will come only after I have come to talk to you about him. He's the one. He has come. He's in your midst. Set your heart on him. For he existed before I was even born. The Spirit told him who he was. And the Spirit of God showed him. He says, the one upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, he's the one. So when he saw, you are he. You are he. The Spirit told me about you yesterday. You are he. That's what happened. He says, he's the one. Are you understanding scripture?
Yes.
I'm not telling you what I think. Please. Go to the next verse. And now, out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. Out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him, we receive grace, heaped upon more grace. Oh, what good news. And now, out of his fullness, we are fulfilled. And from him, we receive grace, heaped upon more. What does verse 17 say? Quickly. It says, Moses gave us the law. Moses gave us the what?
The law.
But Jesus, the anointed one, he unveils truth. He unveils truth and grace, or truth wrapped in tender mercy. He is bringing forth that which is true and the grace that makes the true manifest. The grace that makes the truth manifest. I tell you, then the last one, verse 18, it says, no one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor except the uniquely beloved Son. He's the only one who has seen the Father, who is cherished by the Father and held close to his heart. Now he has revealed to us the full explanation of who God truly is. So he came to reveal him to us so that when you see him, you will see that you are dealing with the risen King. With God himself. So you see who God is. That's why everything he did was to manifest the love and the power of God. Now, so that is him. But let me just show you something quickly. We don't have much time. We don't have much time. Now, let's see what happened that made it necessary that he had to become a man. Now, do you all remember what God told Adam? He told him that in the day that you eat it, did he say, I will kill you?
No.
What did he say?
You shall surely die.
You shall surely die. Now, pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm going to share with you quickly. It has to be so fast. Please give my people. Now, the moment, see, the devil did not tempt Eve with that tree just because of the Lord's prohibition. No. He tempted Eve with that tree because he knew that his power, the devil knew that his ability to deceive, ability to take a whole nation, a whole world down the path of destruction, he knew that it was rooted in that tree.
Yes.
He knew it. If I could get this woman to eat it, my job is done. I can run away. And it will perpetuate itself. It will just run through all his descendants, all her descendants, and all his descendants. Now, pay attention. God also did not prohibit them just to test them. No, you don't do such a test. No. He did it. He prohibited them because he knew that it was poison. But also, he didn't want to make robots. He He wanted to make a being that has the option to choose freedom. So that if the same being begin to now choose God, he says, it's because you are falling in love with me. It's not because you didn't have a choice. Can you imagine if a man comes to you and then he has been bounced by all the women in the class, or every one of them has bounced him, and then he comes to you and you know that he has been bounced by all the women in the class. Angie, what are you going to do? Tell me, please, you are muted. What are you going to do?
I'll bounce him too.
Why? It's because you are, listen, he's
obviously
not choosing.
He's not against bearable.
No, obviously you are not special.
No.
That's why he did not begin with you.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
He didn't even think about you. He has tried this. There are 15 girls in the class, and he has been bounced by one of them, and you were the last one. It's like now you don't have a choice, right? That's why you come to me. Now, listen to me. They did not die just because of disobedience. They did not die just because of their disobedience. You say, why do you say that? Because God didn't say, if you do it, I will kill you. If God has said that, if you eat it, I will kill you, then it is primarily the disobedience that has brought the death. True or false?
True.
But he said that when you eat it, you will surely die. And the way you know that he is not the one who killed them, is what he did after they ate it.
Yeah.
A person wants to kill you, but when you have done the thing that he says he's going to kill you, he's not going to find a means to come and restore your situation. Two of us.
No.
So can you agree with me that it was not just the disobedience? No. It was what they ate, that thing. Now, you say, what is it? Because it's just called knowledge of good and evil. Why should a knowledge of what is good and what is evil cause or bring death? Why should it bring death? This is a reason. Listen, God made them naked. They were naked. They could only, until that time when they ate it, they could only receive their wisdom. Everything that they know, it comes only from God. In the day that they ate it, the attention that compelled them to only receive from the Father and the Son, immediately it stopped. It cut off. What happened? Now they began to receive what is good. They got to receive. What does this mean? They now began to receive it from themselves. What does it mean? That tree, as soon as they ate it, they became a god unto themselves. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse 20. Look at it. They became a god. That's exactly what Satan's purpose. In the day that they eat it, they will become a god unto themselves. Meaning, they will no longer receive truth. And that which is life. From God the Father, God the Son. No. They will receive it from themselves. My job is done. And all their children will become like that. Their opinions and what they think and what... Now, please look at it. Are you listening? John chapter 3, verse 20. Look at it.
Genesis.
Oh, sorry. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. Make it from verse 22. 22. Quickly. 22 to 24. Give me King James, please. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us. You see that?
Yes.
Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Meaning, what is now that we shall give life, it comes from them. They determine it. What will kill them? What will destroy them? It comes from them. they will receive it. They will never receive from us again. They can't. Why? Why? The spirit that is able to commune with me, and nature has come. It's called sin. That nature has recreated them into its image and likeness.
Yeah.
And it's now going to perpetuate its nature through their life. And this nature is going to pass upon all their sons and daughters. So God said, God, listen, no. Listen, sin had entered. It has recreated them into its image and likeness. Oh. But when God made them, that's not how he made them. But now a new nature, they are born again in reverse. It says, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat. And do what?
And live forever.
And live forever. God said, if I allow them to touch the tree of life, they shall eat and they shall live forever. And nothing can be done to reverse or to undo the destruction that they have brought the whole world. Is this not love? He's already thinking, he's already setting into place what he's going to do to remedy the situation. Do you see it?
Yeah.
So it was not even out of, it's like, I'm so angry, I'm driving. No. It's not like that. But unfortunately, that's what you've been made to believe. Two of us. Say, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Next verse, quickly. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 34. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is the beginning of the restoration. It is so that man and his descendants will not become like the fallen angels, who God cannot do anything for and with. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Except for them to perish. So that is why he killed the animal and covered them with the skin that contained the blood of the animal to cover them and to prevent their extinction. Now, are you with me so far?
Yes.
So the Bible says that wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. And this sin, the nature, it's passed upon all men. It's passed upon all men. And death. No. Look at it. Please, look at it. Let's read it. Look at Romans 5 verse 12. Quickly. Give it to me in the Amplified version. I'm gonna end sooner. I'm going to end midway. But I think you will get something quickly. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, the Amplified version will do. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, the nature came into the world through one man, and death, meaning that man was now cut off from the ability to have communion, fellowship, so that man can no longer receive wisdom. That is why when he came as a man, nobody could see him. Why? Because man couldn't see anymore. Man couldn't relate to that which is of God. That is why when he asked them, who do men say I am? And the spirit of, Peter spoke. He said, wow, I know man, you are a man. This cannot usher forth out of your mouth except my Father in heaven brought you, caused you to see quickly. You saw, bam! And then you close again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You just saw, and then it closed again. That's why you are saying that. It came from my Father. He's the only one who can make such a... Demons, they know. The devil, they know. Why? They are spirits. But man has ceased to be a spiritual being that is able to communicate. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So you say, no one being... So death is spread to all men. No one being able to stop it. Or to escape his power, because all men sinned, because all men were contained in that nature or in the loins. So you didn't have to sin. So the life, this life of the first man, it passed upon all his descendants. This life is lived under a sentence of death. This life is rejected by God. This life is cursed by God. This life is ruled by lust. It is ruled by pride. That is why when God, you see, God cannot stay there and say, don't be proud. How can you tell a lion to stop eating meat? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So who is proud? Everybody who is not in Christ, number one. Everybody who is in Christ, but whose eyes has not been opened to see the reality of this new life. You are ruled by lust. You can't help it. You can't change it. You are ruled by pride. You can't help it. You can't change it. You are selfish. You see things by your opinion. The devil deceives you and you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And you can't help it. That is why he doesn't fault you until he puts you in Christ. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's why he will send you that I've done something. Go and tell them what I've done. And when you go, don't tell them whatever is wrong with them. Don't do that. I know that already. I know where it came from. It didn't come from them. Now, so until we come to the place where we know, but look at something that happened in that same, go down to verse 14. Go down to verse 14. Yet death, a hell's way from Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command as Adam did. So all those who came right after Adam, Cain, Abel, and all the people, Enoch, this, everybody, remember the days of Noah?
Yeah.
All those people, all that they were doing, he's saying that death, meaning that separation of man's spirit and soul from God, it ruled over Adam all the way through Moses, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command. They were not told not to do this. They didn't have a written law. They didn't have this and that, but sin was still ruling over them. Then he says, Adam was a type, a prefigure of the one who was to come in reverse. The former destructive, the latter saving. Let me just quickly explain this to you so that you can understand it. You see, this is your life. Right here, he says that Adam is a pattern for Christ. It's a prefigure. It's a type. Because the all-important parallel is seen here. You see, what is it? The judicial consequences of Adam's sin are experienced by all his people, not on the basis of their individually committing a sin like he did, but on the basis of their being in him and his sin, that nature, being imputed to them. As soon as that becomes clear to you, then he brings in Christ as a parallel. The judicial consequences of Christ's righteousness are now also experienced by all people, not on the basis of their doing any righteous deeds like he did, but on the basis of their being put in him and his righteousness being imputed to them. Just as it is not at root the personal sinning of those in Adam that brought their sentence, their condemnation, so it is not at root the personal goodness of those who are in Christ that brings their righteousness or justification. So the point of saying that Adam is a type of Christ is to signal the righteousness that comes to us, not on the ground of obedience, but on the ground of Christ's obedience and our union with him, just because we believe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me share one last thing before we go. Go to the verse 15. This is verse 14. Go to verse 15. It says, give it to me in the King James so that I can finish quickly, because, oh, you know what? Yeah, give it to me in King James so that I can, so that you don't. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Now, it's amazing why the Holy Spirit talks about a gift and says it's free. I don't know which gift is not free. So why is he saying free gift? It's for double emphasis, so that you can't miss it. I just saw it yesterday. I'm like, but every gift is supposed to be free, right? True or false?
Yeah, a gift, yeah.
It's a gift. I mean, am I paying for the gift? Then please, I deserve it. I mean, don't say the gift.
Uh-huh.
But he's saying, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Don't look at the offense of one and what it has caused, what it has brought, and look at the gift and say, oh, this caused this, so this has also brought this, so it's neutral. Say, no! It's not just this neutralizing that. No. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God. Much more the grace of God. And the gift that comes only by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. I mean, he's saying that God's free gift immeasurably outweighs the transgression. For if through the transgression of the one individual, the mass of mankind have died, infinitely greater is the generosity with which God's grace and the gift given in his grace, which finds expression in the one man, Jesus Christ, have been bestowed on the mass of mankind. This is basically saying that what the enemy did in Adam, causing sin, the nature, to come into the world, and death by sin, which passed over all of humanity, is so inferior. It's so inferior to what God has accomplished for humanity through his son. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The grace that gives righteousness, that bestows righteousness, which is the new nature of the recreated man, is far more certain, is far more abiding, is far more preeminent than the transgression. Unfortunately, we tend to rather have a great respect and fear for what the enemy accomplished through the first man, but not as much appreciation for the righteousness and the true holiness of the new creation man in Christ. But let's understand something, that the depravity and the corruption that we see in fallen man is not so much the power of the devil to devastate, as it is the consequence of separation from God. Let me say it again. Can you give me a people? Let me say this again. I'm about to close, but let me say this again. Are you listening?
Yes.
Listen to what I'm saying. The depravity and the corruption that we see in fallen man is not so much as the power of the devil to devastate, as it is the consequence of separation from God. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's not so much what the devil is able to do to destroy and to kill. That's not so much. It's not so much based on that. But it is what happens when man is separated from God. The devastation, depravity is just unfathomable. So then our fear, our dread should be the doing of anything that separates us from the presence of God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Because for the wages of sin is still death, meaning the wages of allowing sin to rule through our flesh is separating you from the presence of God. That is why it is in your greatest interest to forgive. Hey, you cannot afford. Why? Not only has the person who has done that wickedness to you, not only is the wickedness painful, but you holding on to it and revisiting it and talking about it and letting anybody know that the depth of the pain. Listen, the person did you in But now you have taken the doing in of yourself to the highest height. Why? Because this time you comment and you count and you talk about it. It's separating you from that which is life. So that's why it's in your interest to bless those who despitefully use you. That's why it's in your interest to pray and to be gracious. It's your interest. Why? Because if you hold anything, now, I'm closing. Let me share something with you. Jesus, I believe the Holy Spirit taught me something this morning. He said that it's about humility. He said that Jesus Christ, he is God. When you read that scripture that talks about he humbled himself, what it means that he who was God, he who was glory, or who is glory, he who is everything that God purposed, he who pleases the Father in every area, he had something that he could lay aside. That is humbling. When he tells us to humble ourselves, you are at ground zero. You are already under a sentence. The devil has right and access to you. The law of sin and death is already ruling you, and it didn't even come from you. You are, a great injustice has been done to you. There is nothing that is life, that is wisdom, that is peace, that is joy that you have. He's not telling you there is nothing to take and put aside. It doesn't exist. So when he says humble yourself, he's saying, and please pay attention to what I'm telling you. He's saying, rid yourself of everything that you know and receive wisdom from me. Receive truth from me. Receive that which you want to stand on. Receive it from me. If I say it, you're not receiving it because it makes sense to you. You're not receiving it because it adds up. You are receiving it because I. So humility in our case is not, oh, I'm going to abase myself. I'm going to make myself feel like a worm. Listen to me. Listen, it's not humility. So any voice that comes to tell you, any communication that demeans you, any communication that makes nonsense what God says he has brought forth in you, he says that it is not his voice. It's not coming from him. It's not. But when you begin to recognize and embrace what he has brought forth, he says that is humility. So you can look at yourself and say that, Father, I thank you that you have made Jesus to be unto me this, unto me that. Not that you are walking in it, not that you are experiencing it, but you've humbled yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then when you also begin to relate to others, not based on what you are seeing, not based on what your senses are communicating to you, but based on what I said I have brought forth in them. He says you are now walking in humility. This is the only reason why you will bless those who curse you. Why? Because you know what the Father has brought forth in them. They don't know yet. Are you guys, am I coming through at all?
Mm-hmm.
This is why you can look at somebody and say, my brother, you are called to a very high level of authority. Where now, when you speak, powers will bow. But he's on drugs. How can you do that? That's humility. Because now you are calling forth things that be not as though they are, just as I am. And now you are receiving what they are from me. Are you guys getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, is it too much for you to understand?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you see yourself? If you are humble, you will only see yourself according to the way I see you. And that you will receive from my word, because my death and my resurrection has brought forth a new nature. It's the nature of God. And I am your wisdom. I am your peace. When I say that I have healed you, it says I by his stripes you are healed. You don't say I should heal you. That is pride. You don't beg me for anything anymore. You only stand on the authority of what I have brought forth. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You don't have a past anymore. You cannot revisit your past because it doesn't exist anymore. I don't even remember it. Your sins, lawless deeds, and the things that are against you, I don't have any recollection of them. You cannot define yourself, you cannot define your state by anything that torments you, except to glory in me. That is humility. Pride is the opposite. Wow, let's rise to our feet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is going to show this to all of us. Amen. And to many sons and daughters. Then we shall become restrained. Otherwise you cannot be restrained. Oh, you will speak your mind. Oh, you will dish it out. Oh, you can't help yourself. Why? Because another law will rule us. But when the reality of his life, he sent his son that he might live through us. Just say after me. Say after me. Father. I receive that which you have brought forth. Through the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Through the obedience of Jesus Christ.
Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
Through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ.
I am why he came.
I am why he came.
My boss is why he came.
My boss is why he came.
My colleagues are why he came.
My colleagues are why he came.
My friends are why he came.
My friends are why he came.
The other families in my neighborhood are why he came.
The other families in my neighborhood are why he came.
And I receive the product of his work unto myself.
And I receive the product of his work unto myself.
And I impute that same product upon all these people.
And I impute that same product upon all these people.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
That you manifest this in my life.
That you manifest this in my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
reach out for your blood and your body. I tell you, this is why Jesus rose up, is to bring forth this. And each time you eat his body, and each time you drink his blood, he says, you are calling to remembrance my work. You are calling to remembrance my faithfulness. You are calling to remembrance my obedience. Please, don't come in your name. Don't come in your obedience. Don't come on the basis of what you do right. If you do that, the enemy will pounce on you, and I will be restrained because you are exercising your will to call forth you. But if you come in my name, if you come in my presence, if you have recognition to my body broken and to my blood shed, and now the communion which you have through my blood, nothing shall stand up against you and overcome you. Lift up the body and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. Say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Please drink the blood. Wow. Please make a last statement with me. Say from today.
From today.
I will not equate to my environment.
I will not equate to my environment.
According to my humanity.
According to my humanity.
but I'll begin to equate it to my environment.
Begin to equate to my environment.
According to his life in me.
According to his life in me.
So help me, Father.
So help me, Father.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Well,